Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Kisav, we have six Divrei Torah. We are going to start out with Perek Chafav, Pasuk Hey. This is the mitzvah Bikurim, the first fruits of certain fruits that grow in the land of Israel are brought to the Beis HaMikdash, given to the Kohen, and as part of the declaration of the person bringing his Bikurim, he says what we also say at the Seder table. This is a Pasuk, a famous Pasuk. Arami Oved Avi Vayered Mitzrayim, an Aramean tried to destroy my forefather, talking about Yaakov Avinu, and Klal Yisrael wound up going down to Mitzrayim. So what's the significance, what's the connection between the Aramean, who is referring to Lavan Ha'arami, the Aramean Lavan, the trickster, the dishonest, treacherous individual who played games with everyone, likely including his own son-in-law, Yaakov Avinu. So what's the significance of Lavan, and how did that make us wind up going down to Mitzrayim, and what's the lesson that we can learn from this? So it goes as follows, says the Al-Sheikh, that we see that there's a real chain of events here. It started out with Lavan, who was dishonest, and he switched the daughters. Yaakov Avinu was supposed to get married to Rachel, and in the morning he sees it's Leah. Treachery, dishonesty. And what was the result of that? The result of that was the first one that was married, it was Leah, she had children. And when eventually Rachel had the bracha of having children, the firstborn was Yosef. But truth be told, Rachel was supposed to be married to Yosef, not Leah. Leah wasn't supposed to be married at all. So the result of that would have been Yosef should have been the firstborn. Yosef should have been the Bechor. So we have what? We have Lavan switch the daughters. Leah came first, then Rachel. As a result of that, there was a firstborn other than Yosef. And accordingly, when Yaakov showed favoritism to Yosef, he was really showing favoritism to who would have been the Bechor. But now he's not the Bechor. And the result of that was that the brothers were upset. Had Yosef been the Bechor, he would have gotten a double portion. It would have been acceptable to show a little bit favoritism to the Bechor, but he's not the Bechor because of the treachery of Lavan switching the wives. Yosef was not the Bechor, and the result of the hatred of the brothers of Yosef for the favoritism was that they wound up going down to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, as we know the story of the famine on the land, Yosef being the viceroy of Mitzrayim, and all of Bnei Yisrael, all the children of Yaakov and all of his children went down to Mitzrayim. So that's the statement here, and it's an amazing insight. Arami Oved Avi Vayere Mitzrayim. It was the Aramean tried to destroy my forefather, talking about Lavan Ha'arami. Lavan was dishonest with Yaakov Avinu, and the result, the chain reaction of all that dishonesty, was that Klal Yisrael wound up going to Mitzrayim. And the message of this, the very important message of this, is the actions that we take can have real, significant, unanticipated consequences. And if it's a positive action, that unanticipated consequence will very likely be very positive. But if it's a negative, if it's dishonesty, if it's treacherousness, then that consequence, that unanticipated consequence, as we see here, will likely be very negative. We are now moving on to number two. We are in Perek Chafav, Pasuk Yugimel. This is the Vidui Masros. The Vidui Masros is the declaration that is made by the person who brought the first fruits. It's a declaration that all the requirements of taking the tithes throughout the Shemitah cycle, I've done correctly. This Vidui Masros is actually said in the fourth and seventh years of the Shemitah cycle. It's on the last day of Pesach. So the Shemitah cycle is structured as follows. There's year one, two, and three, or one cycle, four, five, and six, or another cycle. They have different changes throughout them with which of the tithes are supposed to be taken. So those two sets, after year three, so in the Pesach of year four, and after year six, which is the next set in year seven, we make the statement, the Vidui Masros, that we have done everything correctly in taking off the tithes. And the Pasuk here, again, it's Perek Chafav, Pasuk Yugimel, this is our second word, Lo Avarti Mimitzvasecha, Velo Shachachti, I have not violated anything in the mitzvahs, I did the mitzvahs properly, and I didn't forget anything. And the question that the Sfas Emes asks is, this is duplicative, repetitive language. It says, I didn't do it any of this wrong, I didn't forget anything. That is duplication. If you would have remembered, if you remembered, you did everything right. If you didn't remember, you did everything wrong. It's saying the same thing. So he says as follows. In fact, it's not saying the same thing. It's saying something very different, and it's telling us a very important message. It's very often that when we do mitzvahs, we can do the action, but we don't have the proper kavana. We don't have the intent. We don't think about what we're doing. We don't think about the tamia mitzvahs. We don't even think about who gave us the mitzvah to do. We forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we are on fast forward, acting like robots. Mitzvahs anashim ulumada. We are just going through the actions, but putting no thought into it. This is the concept of having mindfulness. We need to be mindful. We need to have kavana when doing the actions of the mitzvah. So rather than just doing the action and not thinking about it, we have to both do the action and think about it. And accordingly, that is what this pasuk is teaching us. This is Shvas Emes. Lo avarti mi mitzvasecha. When it came to the action, I did it. I did it properly, I did it correctly, 100%. And in addition, v'lo shachachti, and I also did not forget about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you were the one who commanded me to do the mitzvah. So that's why they're very different. And this is something, obviously, that we should incorporate into our lives day in, day out, when we're watching the Netilas Yadayim, when we wake up. Even before that, when we say the Mo'odi Ani Lefanecha, think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us another day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for this another day. Thank you for the chesed that you're giving me opportunities to serve you. We wash the Tilas Yadayim. We think about where we're removing the tumah. When we put on the tzitzis for the men, have in mind why we're putting on the tzitzis. The mitzvah, the tariq mitzvahs that are reflected in the knots and the wraps and everything we do. I remember hearing from Rav Gershon Best talking about davening. Rav Gershon Best in Los Angeles talking about tefillah. And he says, you're going to do it anyway, so you may as well pay attention. And that's the message here. Don't just do the davening rotely, mitzvah sanashim milumada, but think about the words. Think about to whom we are davening. It is not only lo avarti mi mitzvotecha, but also it has to be lo shachachti HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We didn't forget about you when we are doing our mitzvahs. We are moving on to number 3 here. This is talking about a new commitment between Klal Yisrael accepting upon themselves the Torah, the famous Har Grizim and Har Heval, the brachas, the klalos, 6 shvatim on one, on 6 on the other. We have the brachas, we have the klalos. So in the language of the pasuk, it says, Hayom hazeh niyesalam. This is the day that you're made into a nation. Something that is very powerful here. Klal Yisrael is being told, this is making you a nation. What's making you a nation? So says Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, the nation of Klal Yisrael, our nationality, becoming who we are, is not based on having come into the land of Israel. We have our own land, or we have our own language, or we have our own currency. That's what makes a nation. That's not Klal Yisrael. That's other nations. You come together, the melting pot, United States of America, start a land, we're now a country. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, that's not the concept. The concept is the accepting upon ourselves the Torah, even if we are in the Midbar, which we were at the time, even if we're not in our land, even if we don't have specifically the language, which we did, okay. But the point is, the critical point is, Hayom HaZeh, that we are an Am. What's making us an Am? It's the acceptance of the Torah. The Torah is what makes us Klal Yisrael. That's what designates our nationality. And it's not having, of course, we want the land and there's a mitzvah to live in the land and to speak Hebrew. Absolutely. But what makes us a nation is the Torah. And wherever we are the nation of Israel, independent of the land, independent of the language. Even though this Torah is in English, it doesn't matter because we are speaking Torah. Just to add on a point, I was actually learning with a friend, a chavrus of mine, Yosef Rubin, and he added on that he heard from Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, Zatzal, a very relevant point. He said the same thing which we said, but he went the next step, and he says all other nations, when they start out with the land, they start out with the language. But Klal Yisrael, what starts us is the Torah. That's what starts us. That's what generates us. That's what creates us. And Rabbi Sachs had a beautiful Dvar Torah based on that. But that was a snippet of what my Chavrusa added on to the Dvar Torah. Continuing, number 4, we are now in Perek Chavzayin Pasuk Tesvav. And the curses on Har Eval, and one of them is that Asher Yaseh Pesel Maseicha, somebody who makes a pesel, makes an idolatry, etc., a molten image, and he puts it, Vesamba Seser, and he puts it into hiding. So what's going on here? So this is a very powerful point from the Avni Ozel, and he says that the worst type of attack against Klal Yisrael is when somebody makes a kessel and a masecha, and we'll take it literally right now, and then they'll extrapolate from that to make it metaphorical, as Avni Ozel does, and they hide it. And you don't know about it. And what it means is that they hide this deity. They hide this Avodah Zarah in back of fancy talk, fancy concepts. And for example, he says that the concepts of, they put it behind culture. This is culture, it's important. But when we have an Avodah Zarah and we simply want to doctor it up, we want to put a facade on something that's treif and call it, but this is culture. Or this is enlightenment, or this is liberalism, or this is progressivism, and the concepts underlying them are idolatry. Lav dafka, not necessarily idolatry, but it's tenets, concepts that are against the Torah, but you simply, I used to work with somebody, and we were on a business trip to check out a technology company we were looking at, and I asked him, so he was the technologist, I was the business person, and I said, tell me, is it good technology, bad technology? And he had certain concerns about the technology. And he said, you know, it looks good, but truth be told that they put lipstick on a pig. And that always stuck with me, an interesting concept, that underlying it's a pig. And they try to doctor it up. And this is what is going on with putting on that facade of culture, enlightenment, on top of other concepts that are absolutely against the Torah. And that's what this arur is. This is what the cursed thing that is being talked about here. If somebody makes a pesel masecha, they make something that is idolatrous and they hide what it is. And they just put a facade, a coat of paint on it, but it doesn't change the underlying problem. They're putting on a costume on top of it. They're putting a guise on top of it. That is the arur that we have here. Arur ha'ish. Cursed is the person who has something that's draped and he tries to put the polish on it, tries to put the lipstick on it by hiding it, but it's really something that is against the dictates and requirements of the Torah. Moving on to number five here, as part of the brachos, that was part of the klalos. Now part of the brachos, there's an amazing pasuk. It says, "Ru'u kol amei aretz." When we're adhering to the Torah, when we're keeping to the Torah, the non-Jews will look at us, and they will see Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yaru Mimecha. They will see the name of God upon us, and they will have fear of us. There's a gemara in brachos that says as follows: Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that they will look upon you, they will see the name of God upon you. What is this talking about? So Tanya Rabbi Eliezer, Agadol Amar, Elu Tfilin Shibarosh. This is talking about tefillin that is on our head. And the question is as follows. There have been many examples of people when davening and having tefillin on, and we don't see that the non-Jews are fearful of us. The tefillin doesn't instill fear in others. So why does the drush and the pasuk say that they will have fear when they see your tefillin Shibarosh? So the Baal Kedusha says, Levi, Rab Levi, Yitzchak, Mir B'Dishrav says, you have to look closely at the language in the Gemara here. It doesn't say those are tefillin she'al harosh. It's not talking about tefillin that is on your head, but rather it's talking about tefillin she'berosh. It's talking about tefillin that is internalized in you. And it goes as follows, says Kedusha, says Levi, if you have somebody that just has tefillin on his head, tefillin she'al harosh, there's no fear there. That's something that's external to you. On the other hand, if somebody has tefillin shebarosh, and what that means is he has internalized the concepts of the tefillin. He has internalized the emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they are engraved not on him. They're not external, but they're engraved inside of him. That is a God-fearing Jew. That is the person, v'ra'u kol ameyarz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yaru mimecha. When the non-Jews see that person, that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on you, El Tefillin Sheberos, he's internalized the teaching of the Torah, that is somebody who they will fear from. And now moving on to number six, we are in Perek Chavches, Pasuk Yugimu, Vayisa, Rak Lamala, Velot Yeh Lamata, you will just be above and not below. This is talking about the brachas. So Rav Azriel Hildesheimer explains as follows, if you look, for example, at a stone, and you throw it downwards, it increases in inertia, it increases its speed as it goes down. That is the direction of a stone. If you try to throw it upward, it loses steam. It doesn't have a lot of steam as it's going up. The real inertia of a stone is in the direction downward, not in the direction of upward. On the other hand, if we take an example, for example, of fire, fire, you light it. The inertia, the speed is upward. That's the natural course of the fire, is going upward, not downward. And if you look at the ash, at the fire, up, there's inertia. Down, very little. It's going slowly. So the general principle here is that you have different types of items, and they will go based on where they naturally gravitate to. They have a natural gravitation, and they go, and that stone is downward, and an ash, and a fire is upward. Now, when you apply that to people, the soul of a Jew yearns for Kedusha, always desires to go up. That's what our pasuk says, Vayisarak Lamalo. That is the intrinsic, natural inclination of a Jew, is up, to grow in Ruchnius, to increase Kedusha. And on the other hand, somebody who doesn't have the greatest of a neshama, if it's not a Jewish neshama, Yiddish neshama, it's going to be in the opposite direction. Things tend to degrade for such people. We don't have growth in Kedusha typically, oftentimes at the opposite. And indeed, that is what our pasuk is telling us. Vayisarak lamala, yid should gravitate. And the natural proclivity is to gravitate just upward. Unfortunately, we get distracted by the wiles of this world and by our Yetzer Hara. But if we don't let those distract us, it's only going to be up. And that's the bracha. If we're adhering to the Torah, if we're adhering to our learning, if we're paying attention to our davening, Vayisarak lamala, v'lo tiyeh lemata. Have a wonderful day.